I want to say what I said before as we get started. We're talking about the power of contrast. First of all, I want to say this for those of you who make hope your home. I am so blessed to be your pastor. If you're watching us from home and hope isn't your home, you don't have a pastor, I want to say this. I want to be your pastor. I want to be your pastor. I want to help you in your spiritual development. Not that I'm all that in a bag of chips, but God has. I like what Paul says at the beginning of almost every letter. Every letter he says, I'm an apostle called of God by the will of God. And I'm a pastor, you know, called of God by his will. And his grace, you know what? I don't know why he selected me. I'm, you know, graduated from Pioneer High School. Not the most astute high school in the land. Went to Life Bible College. Didn't go to Harvard. Didn't go to Yale. Didn't go to Stanford. Didn't go to USC. Didn't go to UCLA. But I went to Life Bible College as led of the Holy Spirit. And but I knew at some point in time, God had graced me with the ability to communicate the gospel. And I thank God for it. And I would ask you, if you don't have a pastor, I want to be your pastor. And I want to raise you up in the things of God. Give me a year. Give me a year. Come, son. You commit. You come every Sunday and every Wednesday. And if you're not at work, you watch me 10 o'clock every morning. Just for 20 minutes. But watch what will happen in a short period of time. I want to give that invitation. Because I know there's so many people that they are online and they don't go to Hope. But I would say you're not watching this by accident. And if you come to Hope every once in a while, you know, get that out of your vocabulary. Get serious in the things of God. Start coming every Sunday and every Wednesday. Start watching every Sunday and every Wednesday. We're going to be back soon. We're going to be back soon. It's going to be a glorious thing. You know what? Wait till you see. Wait till you see what we've been doing when you've been gone. Oh my goodness. We have. Listen, some people right now, they might be on a, what do they call that? They might, what? Hiatus or something. But I tell you what, we haven't been. We've been working hard. You're going to come back and you're going to see the outdoor project almost completed. And it is a very, very special thing. Want to encourage you to give. Give with a happy, hilarious heart. We don't have the opportunity to hand you a bucket like we do, which is where most of the tithes and offerings come. We don't have that opportunity. So your mailbox slot might be your opportunity. Your internet might be your opportunity. Your iPhone. You know what? But figure it out and give with a happy, hilarious heart. If you want to give the outdoor project, you know what? That would be a blessing. We are believing that we'll be completely, that will very soon be completely paid for. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, many times we're going to do that by the Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, hey, I want you to give. If you're giving towards the outdoor project, make sure you write outdoor project some way that it's clear, that it's communicated clearly where you want that money to go. And of course, if you are giving to the outdoor project, you need to know that needs to be above the tithe. That is your gift. And that is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way to give. Amen. Amen. Well, so we're talking about the power of contrast. Go ahead and show me that picture. Now, see, isn't that beautiful? What is, why is that red so striking? it's so striking in the midst of the background of the purple and green. Do you see that? See, that ought to be your life. See, you are striking because, oh, this is so good. Look at that. Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. Isn't God cool? I mean, just the stuff he does. Amazing contrast. God wants you to be like that yellow flesh. Hey, somebody put up on the internet, what's a Drew Bonics, you know what I mean? What's your favorite Drew Bonics? For some of you, it might be when I call the fish a flesh. But God wants you to be like that yellow fish. He wants you to be striking in the midst of a very, he wants you to be righteous in the midst of an unrighteous world. I'll say that again, give you a chance to say amen, mama. Amen, daddy. He wants you to be righteous in the midst of an unrighteous world. And listen, and not just righteous in words, but righteous in deeds. Not just, you know what, not just be all prissy because somebody said the F word and you're gonna correct them. You know what? No, not that. Not a self-righteousness. Not a false sense of humility. Not an arrogance that you are better than someone else. But much like Pastor George. You know, Pastor George in his righteousness, what did that president say one time? He said, something like this, be quiet but carry a big stick. That wasn't exactly what he said, but something like that. And what he meant is, you know, you don't have to brag about yourself all the time. Let your actions brag for you. Amen? And that doesn't mean that there's not times that you stand up and talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about this in a minute. But before we get started, the main thing, and I appreciate Pastor Isaac and his leading us in the Spirit today, because in worship, because one of the things that I hear the Holy Spirit saying is you've got to connect towards me. Last week we talked about thinking right. Today we're going to talk about speaking right. You know what? And next week we're going to talk about doing right. But I'm telling you right on the very start, you can't think right, you can't speak right, and you can't do right if you aren't going to connect with the Spirit of God. It's just not going to happen. Why? Because you're trying to fight with the flesh. You don't need to fight with the flesh. You need to yield to the Spirit. Does that make sense? You need to yield to the Spirit. We overcome evil. You know, how do we overcome evil? By doing good. Well, how do you do good? You have to be, watch this. How do you do good when you have a sin nature? Christians, how do you do that? Well, you also recognize you have a spirit and you submit to your spirit. And then guess what happens? You don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because you're too busy being obedient to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. You can't go forward and backwards at the same time. You can't go left and right at the same time. Does that make sense? Amen. So, the first point, and it's not really a point, it's really just the foundation of this message is you've got to connect with God. You've got to connect the Spirit of God. And you can't do that once a week. You can't do that twice a week. You've got to do it daily. That's the whole point of the manna. They collected the manna daily. And if they got too much, if they got scared that God wasn't going to provide for them, and they hoarded it and took and took two days, it would rot. Why? Because that's not what God wanted. He wanted us every single day to depend upon him. My mom used to tell me this. She used to say, if you can't say something right, don't say anything at all. Mama, if you're watching, happy Mother's Day. For all the mothers who are watching, happy Mother's Day. My mom used to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say it at all. Last week we talked about thinking right. Today I want to talk about doing right. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And look at what verse 1 says. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Wow, what a powerful scripture. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Let us cleanse ourselves. See, God has called you to care about your behavior. God loves you to take you just where you are. You know what? If you got saved and you were smoking a lot of dope, you know what? God didn't say, nope, I'm not going to take you till you stop smoking dope. He never said that. If you were sleeping around, he didn't say, you know what? Hey, well, no. Stop sleeping around, then I'll take you. If you were a gossip, you know what? He didn't say, no, I can't take you. If you were watching pornography, he didn't say, nope, can't take you. You know what? You got to stop watching all that filth first. And then, he didn't say that. He loved you just, you know what? He was willing to accept you just how you were. But when you come to him, he loves you enough not to have you stay where you are. Amen. Amen. And so we read this importance that we are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Then turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 16. Look what it says. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. This is the Apostle Paul, watch this, who was walking in a high degree of righteousness, in a high degree of holiness, and he's walking in such a high degree that he says, hey guys, I want you to imitate me. Can you say that? Can you tell your kids, I want you to imitate me? Or do you tell your kids, don't do what I do, do what I tell you to do? See, no. We want to live that we are examples to other people. So last week we talked about thinking right. Remember, Paul says, as for me, to live is Christ. And we talked about the importance of just giving and thinking the right way. Changing your life that you don't really care about what you want to do. You care about what God wants you to do. Amen? That is so foundational. We're going to talk today about speaking right. Then next week we're going to talk about doing right. But can I tell you the truth? You won't be able to speak right. You won't be able to do right until you start to think right. It just won't happen. See? And you won't even be able to think right without allowing your mind to be washed by the Word of God. That's why it's so important to read your Bible every day. And right now, during the pandemic, you know, don't read your Bible every day. Read your Bible with your pastor every day. Amen. It's fun. I can hardly wait till tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Amen. I really enjoy preaching and teaching and hanging out with you. That the fact that you invite me into your living room, if you're not taking advantage of that, church, I'll see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock and you're going to love it. If you're working, praise the Lord. If you're blessed to be working now, praise God. You get a break, don't you? Take it at 10 o'clock with your pastor. Amen. Take advantage of this. So I want to talk today about speaking right. This is so powerful. Go to Acts. Go to Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then what? Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Go to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. And let's start at verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them. Can I tell you what? Many times, if you are going to be the Christian that God has called you to be, you're going to speak up, and there are going to be people, and they're going to come against you. Amen. Well, don't sweat it. If God is for you, who can be against you? Yeah. Greater is he who is inside you than he that's in the world. Don't allow the world to intimidate you. They're trying to intimidate us, telling us, you know what, don't tell people. You know, no, that's wrong. There's certain behavior, sexual behavior, that, you know what, is wrong according to the word of God. And they're trying to intimidate us, trying to get us not to say anything. Trying to get up upset about us because we say, hey, Jesus is the only way. No, you're closed-minded. And they call us all kinds of names. This is intimidation. Listen, you know the truth. This is the truth. Let God be true in every man. Listen, if somebody's not going to stand up for God, who's going to stand up? We've got to stand up for God. We've got the answer. We've got to care enough about people to tell them the truth. And who cares if we're going to get, you know, thrown in jail? Who cares? We've got to stand up for righteousness. Chapter 16, verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Man, I don't know that was going to happen to me when I decided to be a Christian. Your life doesn't belong to you. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now look at verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Do you see what's going on? They've been beaten with stripes, and notice what the Bible says, many. When my mom used to spank me, I didn't like many spankings, I liked few spankings. Come on, can you shout amen, somebody? You say, Pastor, did you deserve those spankings? I deserved more spankings than she gave me. Come on. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Pastor, you? Oh, my goodness. Well, let's move on. My point is, you know what? Notice, they got many stripes. Then they're thrown in prison, the inner prison. They're shackled. Their feet are shackled. And then what do they start doing? They start singing, you know what, praising God, you know, praying and singing hymns. You know, singing songs of gladness and joy about God's goodness ought to be just part of our life. We should sing this old song. I don't even know what, you know what, I told you this before. I'm so blessed. You know, listen, if you have a heritage like I do, that you were raised in the church, you know, I'm telling you, you're blessed. If you don't have that heritage, you know what? Praise God whenever you got saved. Amen. Amen. You're saved. You're in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. And if you go to this church, there's a lot of good worship in this church. Praise the Lord. But I'm blessed because I have all these songs. And I told you this, the Holy Spirit, you know what, just like a jukebox, the Holy Spirit will sometimes pick, you know what, AA44. What's that? Sing to the Lord of the Lord, come down. Oh, let us sing. Sing to the God of the Lord, come down. Lift up your voice, lift up your voice. Do not afraid, be not afraid. Sing to the power of the Lord, come down. It's such a goofy song. But I was walking around the other day singing, sing to the power of the Lord, come down. I'm singing both parts. You know what? Sing to the power of the Lord, come down. Lift up your voice, be not afraid, be not afraid. Sing to the power. It's crazy. What are you doing? I'm singing hymns, man. Well, how was your week? Did you have a good week? No, my week was not good. But God is good. Actually, the truth is, my week was good. You know why my week was good? Not because circumstances in my life was good, but because I focus on the God that we serve and His goodness. I don't anticipate. As a matter of fact, I'll say it in the positive. I anticipate that the goodness of God and His blessings are coming at me all the time. Goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to tread? What have I to fear? Man, that's a good song to sing in the midst of this pandemic, is it not? What have I to tread? What have I have to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. With my blessed peace of my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Were they singing that song? I don't know. I don't think that song was written back then yet. It's an old song, but it's not that old. What song were they singing? I don't know. But here's what I know, that as, watch this, as they were singing, what was happening? Do you see it? And the prisoners were listening to them. Listen, I want to talk about the power of contrast today, specifically when you will start to speak the right things. Christians' vocabulary ought to be completely different than unchristian people's vocabulary. Listen, moms, you ought to sound different than your neighbors. Listen, dads, you ought to sound different than your workers. Listen, kids, you ought to sound different than those that you go to school with. And one of the ways that you ought to sound different, because I'm going to go in three different ways or maybe even more that you ought to sound different, but one way that you ought to sound different is you should not be moved by what you see. Yeah. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. See, is that just a scripture or is that our lives? See, did you lose your job this week? Why so downcast? Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your trust in God. Amen. That's what David said. Why am I downcast? Why am I? Well, because you lost your job. No, that's how the world thinks. The godly The godly say, no, 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 no. I've got a covenant with God. God has promised to take care of me. So what are you doing? You are expecting a better job. That's what you're doing. Amen? Does this make sense to anybody? See, you're anticipating the goodness, goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. Why? Because that's what the Bible said. They're in the midst of a prison. Not just in the prison. They're in the they're in the inner prison. Dark, smelly, gross. And what are they doing? They're praying and they're singing hymns. Watch this. To God. See, sometimes we get so focused on our own, what's going on, that we forget. Can I tell you what? Maybe you lost your job, but God is still worthy of praise. Maybe situations aren't good. Listen, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Don't, with thanksgiving. And what's with thanksgiving? It's faith. It's anticipating that, you know what, your days in front of you are going to be better than your days behind you. You know why God got so upset with the Israelites? Because they started to think their days behind them were better than their days in front of them. That's what they did. They started to think that the world could take care of them better than God could take care of them. Listen, Christians, don't you dare go in that direction. No. Yeah, but I'm in prison. Yeah, but God is worthy to be praised. And notice how powerful. Listen, maybe you're in the mess that you're in. I'm going to say this, and I want you to receive this with all seriousness. Maybe you're in the mess you're in because of your mouth. Here, does the Bible say this? By your words, you're going to be condemned, and by your words, you're going to be justified. Does the Bible say the same measure that you measure it out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you? See, does the Bible say death and life is in the power of the tongue? Do we believe that? Christians ought to believe that. That is throughout the Word of God. The Bible says everything that was made by God's words. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. And then when Jesus spoke to that fig tree and cursed it, then when Peter walked out and said, whoa, trip out on that, then Jesus looked at the apostles and said, assuredly, he's about to say something that's hard for them to believe. So he says it like this. Assuredly, I say to you, listen, for sure, guys, I'm telling you the truth, that anyone, if they will believe and they can speak to that mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, and not doubt in their heart, but believe that very thing will happen to them. Amen. I'm just telling you what Jesus taught and what he said. See, Jesus believed Proverbs that says death and life in the power of the tongue. So he used that power. Listen, your tongue is so powerful if you'll use it. And so what does he do? He understands death and life is the power of the tongue. What did he do? He spoke death to that fig tree. And what did it do? It withered up. Amen. See, listen to me. Listen to me, moms. Listen to me, dads. Listen to me, kids. Amen? Listen, but you don't, you're like, Pastor, I'm only 8. Listen, you're 8, but you know Jesus. Amen. I remember when I was 8, I knew when I was doing wrong. Listen, 8-year-old, the Spirit of God loves you when he's speaking to you. And I know I'm not Chef Bonds, or I'm not a, you know what, come on, somebody help me out. What? I'm not Chef Mini Buns. I'm not, you know what, I'm not any of that. I'm just Pastor Drew, amen, but I'm speaking to you 8-year-olds. Amen. Yeah, you laughing, huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. But listen, watch this. Watch this. Over a period of time, you know when Jesus went back to his hometown, the Bible says he could do very little. He healed a couple of small little coughs. You know what? Somebody had a sniffly nose and he healed that. But anything substantial, he couldn't do. Watch this. In other cities, he was able to do supernatural, including raising people from the dead. What's the difference? Listen to me. I'm going to teach you something. Your words create walls. Your words are brick in the spiritual realm. And so you go to the hospital, they look at your body, there's something going on in your body, they see it, they recognize it, and then they begin to diagnose you and tell you with their what? Words, what you have. That is their account. That is their words. That is what they see. But you also have another testimony. It's a testimony of God. And God speaks a different testimony about your situation. In the Old Testament, Isaiah says, by his stripes you are healed. Peter, after the cross, Isaiah, before the cross, says, by his stripes you are healed. Peter, after the cross, says, by his stripes you were healed. What's he talking about? He's talking about our covenant. It's talking about his report. He's talking about what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Listen, what is this? Is this true? Is this going to be true to you? Whose report are you going to believe? Because what happens is the doctors give you, and I'm not ripping on doctors. I'm not ripping on doctors, but I am saying to you, if you put anybody's word above God's word, you know what? Then you're going to be stuck with their words. I don't want to be stuck with their words. And so, you know what? You hear that report and you go home and you share it with your kids. You know what? You share it with your aunt and you share it with your uncle and you share it and you say, you know what? The doctor said, I have this. Pretty soon you're not saying the doctor said I have this. Pretty soon you're saying I have this. A little while ago, you couldn't even pronounce it. Yeah. Amen. And now you're telling all your friends and all your relatives, this is what you have. This is what I have. This is what I have. And what do? They don't know the word of God. They start saying, they get on their phone. They start telling all their aunts and uncles and relatives, you know what? Oh, did you hear about, you know what? Did you hear about Becky? She's got blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And then what you know, all this, and then you go back to the doctor and he says, yeah, it's gotten worse. Blah, 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 blah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Or you know what? Or somebody says, oh, do you know you have whatever they say you have? You know, you have a reading disorder. You know what I mean? You're not, you know what? You have dyslexia. Hello? You said, you know what? Yeah, but Pastor, you have dyslexia. You know what? Last week, you went to a verse and you said verse 12 and a verse 21. You reversed that. You did that. You know, listen. I tell you what, you can believe what you want to believe. I'm gonna believe the word of God. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor, we saw you do it. I know, but I'm not moved by what I see. For I walk by faith, not by sight. Do you understand this? So watch this. Watch this. They, Pastor, you're denying the truth. I'm just denying The facts, that's what I'm denying.
Oh, see, you're unscientific.
No, this is superior to the facts. This is the truth. Amen. I can show you throughout the Word of God how, well, the example I gave, the fig tree. The fig tree, did it exist or did it not exist? Come on, somebody help me out, mama. Did it exist or did it not exist? It existed after Christ cursed it. Did it exist or did it not exist? See, here's what I'm saying. Over a period of time, Jesus, you know what? When he in his hometown, there was a stronghold. That wasn't a stronghold of brick and mortar, but that was real. Why? Because your words produce strongholds. Your words produce strongholds. How come he could, how come, watch this, he's in his hometown, he can hardly do anything. He walks out of his hometown, he can do mighty things. I mean, mighty supernatural things. What's the difference? What, here, you tell me. You tell me, those of you who don't believe in the power of the tongue. You tell me what the difference is. No, there was people all over that place. Look, you could look it up. They were saying, hey, man, who's this guy thinks he's all that in a bag of chips? You know what? Are you kidding? He made our table that we had dinner on last night. We know his brothers and sisters. This guy ain't all that in a bag of chips. And many people were saying that, and it created this stronghold where when he came, he could do nothing. Listen, let me tell you what. You are justified by your words, and you are condemned by your words. My whole point in saying all what I said was this. Remember my first point? Maybe you're in the mess because you haven't looked and heard and listened to what you're saying. You're cursing yourself all the time. You're cursing your finances. You're cursing. Listen, I make fun of the fact that I graduated from Pioneer High School. I make fun of that. I'm trying to be funny. But the truth is, you know what? The truth is, I graduated from Pioneer High School. The truth is that because of the grace of God, you know what? That He has had given me the ability to put things together in the Word of God, and I'm doing it, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is way smarter than me. But watch this, but it is me. I don't mean to be arrogant, but it is me. Listen, you know how long I've been saying, you know what, from the north, from the east, south, from the east, from the west, hundreds and thousands. Praise the Lord. I mean, there was a time when we didn't have 100. What were you saying? I was saying hundreds and thousands. And you can say whatever you want to say. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But let me tell you what, as far as what's taking place at this place, we have a hope community. We have a community of hope that are using the power of the words that God has given us to speak the things that are not as though they were. That's exactly what Jesus did. See, be careful. Be careful, internet theologian, that you don't come against, you know what, this kind of teaching, because this is a biblical teaching. It is. And listen, whoa. Listen, be careful, those of you who go to Hope Community Church, that you don't get on the internet and start letting somebody who's not qualified to teach the Word of God to you. They don't know the Word. They don't know. Listen, that's why it's so important that you learn hermeneutics. Yeah, but you know what? Mark 11, 23, 24, I'm not taking it out of context. I'm putting it in context. They're the ones who are taking it out of context. They're the ones who are going to tell you that, you know what, Proverbs, you know what, isn't true. It is true. It's throughout the Bible. I already quoted it. The Bible says in the New Testament, everything that was made through the power of God's words. Amen. Look, you say, yeah, but that was God's word. Well, do you believe God was Jesus? Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, he's talking to men. Anyone who says to this mountain, hallelujah. You know, the guy who said, just speak a word. Jesus didn't get all freaky on him.
Ooh, that sounds like New Age doctrine.
Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was like, I'm telling you what. This is the man. He marveled at his faith. Loved him. Use him as an example. Are you learning something today? You know, listen, these men spoke in the middle, sang in the middle of their turmoil. They spoke, they praised God. God today is worthy of your praise. Stop acting like the world. The world, if they get a flat tire, they're bummed out. You know what? If they get a free taco, they're happy. What kind of life is that? You know what I mean? I don't want to live that life. I want to live a life that I am content in any and every situation. Why? Because that's what Paul said. I've learned to be content in any state that I'm at. Why? Because he trusts in God. He knows God. If God is for him, who can be against him? You know, that's why he says to live as Christ and die as gain. What are you going to do? Kill me? Then what am I going to do? Go to heaven and be with Jesus? Do you understand his mentality? Yeah, but Pastor, they were in prison. They weren't with their families. They were beaten. They were blah, 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 blah. I know. I get it. We can spend all day, you know what, whining that it was too hot last week. No, really, really. And listen to me, Christians, stop it. Amen. You know, what is Tamarack called? Honky-tonk air conditioner or something? Oh, hillbilly. Get some hillbilly air conditioning. What's that? You get a wet rag, you put it in cold water, and slap it on your forehead. Amen. Raise your hands in the air and praise God for all his bountiful blessings that he's given you today. Instead of spending all your day whining about how hot it is. You know? Amen. Are you learning something today? Somebody look at your neighbor and say, speak right. Look at Acts chapter 14. You're in already Acts. Just turn back a couple of, turn to your left a little bit to chapter 14. And chapter 14. Look at verse 1. Now it happened in Antioch that they were together in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and of Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. That's what I was talking about earlier. Watch it, that you don't have a bunch of unbelieving believers talk you out of the power of the tongue. Yeah. I'm serious. Yeah. Listen, they are teaching, you talk about teaching a false gospel. They're teaching you a false gospel. All the time telling you that I'm teaching you a false gospel. Read the Bible. They are the ones teaching you a false gospel. Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do, and greater works. Amen. Therefore, they stayed there, verse 3, therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly. Speaking what? Boldly. In the Lord, who has bear witness of the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by who? By their hands. Yeah. See, God wants to use you in the supernatural ministry of Jesus Christ. Are you learning something? But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. See the contrast? You're going to have righteousness, you're going to have unrighteousness. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with the rulers to abuse and stone them. How many know when they threaten to stone us is not the time for us to shut up? They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and to the surrounding regions. And they were preaching the gospel there. They didn't stop preaching the gospel. In Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting and crippled from his mother's womb. Oh, from his mother's womb. You know, I guess obviously, he's never going to walk again. Stronghold. 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 Hey, listen, if you can't say something nice, don't say it all. The Bible says, let no corrupt word proceed out of you, but that which is edifying for the hearer. I see you wards, and I see the tubes, and I see all the stuff, and I hear the reports. You know, sometimes, you know those socks? You know those socks that they give you at the hospital? They got the grippy things, you know what I mean? I'm serious. Sometimes I want to take those socks and just shove them down the nurse's mouth and just say, hey, shutteth thou uppeth. I'm just saying. Listen, Christians, you be careful that you are not part of the problem. That you are part of the solution. The Bible says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer. You don't have to declare that that person's never going to walk again. You have no idea. For all you know, his mom and dad and grandma and grandpa are believers, and they've been believing that, the guy at the pool was there for 38 years. The woman with the issue of blood had, you know what, that issue for 12 years, and she grew worse. Stop declaring the words of the demonic force. Think, oh, again, I'm just so smart. It's evil, guys. Stop it. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything. The words coming out of your mouth ought to be rivers of life. Amen. Pastor, you get passionate about this. Oh, I do get passionate about this. Here, let me tell you why. Because so many people are suffering needlessly. And the church has got to act different than the world. The church has got to think differently than the world. The church has got to speak differently. We should anticipate that people with all kinds of sicknesses and diseases are going to get up from their sick bed. The Bible says, James says, pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will raise them up from the sickbed. That's what it says. Amen. And I'm not just talking about sickness and disease. I'm talking about all kinds of things, depression and poverty and any misery in any way. Speak life. Verse 7, and they were preaching the gospel there. And verse 8, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. You know why I love this church? Because at this church, We're going to speak the word of God. Let me tell you about this church. This church, we believe in what God says. And we're not afraid to speak it. And it's not just me. It's Pastor Isaac. It's Pastor Shayla. It's Pastor Joel. It's Pastor Vegas. It's Pastor Lydia. You know, it's Pastor George. It's Pastor Tamara. All the pastors in this church believe the word of God, and they're going to speak life. You know what? If you come up for prayer, all the elders are going to pray the prayer of faith over you. You know, the Bible says, if we know the will of God, that we can pray the will of God, and that if we pray God's will, he hears us, and we can have the petitions of our heart. We need to not pray what we think. We need to pray what we see in the word of God. Homologeo, say what God says about that situation. Verse 8, 9. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Now, here's what I want to say. When he saw that he had faith to be healed, was he walking? When Jesus spoke death to that fig tree, was the fig tree alive? When Jesus, you know how many times Jesus said, I'm gonna go to the cross, I'm gonna suffer many things, I'm gonna be killed, and I'm gonna be dead for 3 days, but I'm gonna be raised up from the dead. Had that happened yet? My point is, stop allowing circumstances to dictate you what your mouth says. Stop allowing circumstances to dictate what your mouth says. Listen, parents, your teenager is doing something crazy, and they come in and you speak the wrong thing over them. You speak what's going on instead of speaking what you want. Speak to their spirit. When my friend Jerry used to see me, I wasn't walking in that much righteousness. But he would see me and he'd say, you know what? There's a man of God. We teach this in level 3. You've got to see people. Paul does this all the time. Ephesians chapter 2. That's what he does. He says, but you're not like this. See, what are you going to do with your words? Are you going to change the situation? Or are you going to be like most people, the power of contrast? Are you going to be like the world does and just say, oh, man, look, they're sick. They're in ICU. Oh, man, they got in an accident. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's so bad. And you just keep on adding bricks to the stronghold. Okay, so what? It was bad. You know what? Is there any name above? You know what you should say? That there's no name above the name of Jesus. His name is above every other thing that's named. Do you understand? You start speaking life to that situation. And the man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Now look what he does. This is so important. Said, come on, somebody help me. Said what? Said with the what? Said with a loud voice. Stand up straight on your feet. Who speaks that craziness? People who trust in God. See, at that point in time, he had no physical sign that man could stand up on his feet. None. For the just shall live by their faith. Are you learning something today? See? See, don't listen. Don't just say what you see. Don't just say what you see. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God speaks the things that are not as though they were. It's the things that are not, they're not, but he speaks like they were. That's what this guy did. It was not, but he spoke like it was. He's commanding somebody who hasn't been able to walk, and he says, get up on your feet. See, the secular world won't do that. The secular world is too busy showing you an x-ray. Amen. I'm not saying that to rip on them. God bless the doctors. But all most of them, all they have is facts in front of them. And truth is superior to facts. Amen. Wait. Stand up on your feet. Wait. Who does that sound like? Come on, you intelligence people. Who does that sound like? Do you know some other person who saw some other person who couldn't walk? Do you remember this? And what did he say to him? He said, take up your bed and walk. Who said that? That's Jesus said that. Are you learning something? See, what are we called to do? We're called to act like Jesus. We're called to think like Jesus. We're called to act like Jesus. We're called to not see what we just see with our physical eyes, but see in the spirit what we see with their spiritual eyes, and then not be afraid to speak up with the what kind of voice? What kind of voice? With the loud voice. Stand up on your feet. How many know maybe all that man needed was someone to believe? You know what? What's going on there? Power of agreement. That guy had the faith to believe. Maybe somebody around you just needs, that's all I needed. That's all Jerry did to me, because I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to be free from the things that gripped me. I loved Jesus. I wanted to serve him. I just needed someone to come in agreement to see what not my flesh, but see my spirit and speak into that. That's your calling, moms. Stop speaking death to your kids and your teenagers. Stop speaking what you see them do. Start to speak to their spirit. Start to call them up. Amen, grandmas and grandpas. Oh, my kids are in there. No, they'll never change. Silencio, por favor. This is foolishness. Let words of life flow out of your mouth. Amen. Did you learn something today?
Yes.
Listen, can you do this? Can you start listening to how you sound? Will you ask God that you would start to not listen, I love you, and I, you know what, and I believe the best for you, but listen, I can't change this. You've got to have the integrity to look at yourself and, you know what, like I said, I laughed because, you know, I say this, and sure enough, the other day I did it. I had a shirt and it had stain on it, and I really was late. I didn't want to change, and so I just did this, you know what I mean, rubbed it. I mean, the stain was still there. Can you be honest with yourself? Why? Because you can't move from a place where you just keep on saying there's nothing wrong. I'm fine. Yeah. Amen. You know, I went to visit somebody in the hospital the other day, and I walked And they said, just walk over there. And it had to be 10 feet away. They had something they shot at me. It was to figure out my temperature. And they said, oh, yeah, you're okay. I was like, whoa, trip out on that. What am I saying? You've got to judge your temperature. You've got to recognize. You know what? You ever see somebody who, you ever know somebody who cusses all the time?
Yeah.
They're like, effing this, effing that, effing this. And sometimes, you know, I mean, if you got a good relationship with them, you'll say, hey, do you recognize you say the F word a lot? They say, I don't F and say the F word very much. Oh, my goodness. You know, I mean, that's, and they're serious. They're serious. Listen, moms, can you start to listen to what you sound like? Listen, dads, can you start listening to what you sound like? Can you listen to how negative you are about all kinds of situations in your life? Can you today, start here. Now let me challenge you. Today, every time you complain, you know what? Pinch yourself in the same spot. Every time you complain. And before you go to bed, I want to see, you know what? You might have a big bruise by the time you go to bed. Every time you complain, God is speaking to you on this Mother's Day and saying, hey, start to turn your life around. Start to turn your life around. Start to turn other people's lives around. You're called. You're called to think different. You're called to speak different. If you want to accept Jesus, you say, Pastor, I appreciate everything you said. I just need to be a Christian today. Right there where you are, bow your head, close your eyes, say this. Jesus, come in my heart today. I'm tired of running my own life. Clean me from the inside out. Make me a Christian today. In your name I pray. Amen. We believe if you prayed that you got born again today. Start tomorrow, 10 o'clock. You know what? We're going to teach you the Word of God. Give me a year. Come every Sunday and every Wednesday. When we come back to church, come. You're welcome here. You say, but Pastor, I still smoke dope. You're welcome. Pastor, I still watch pornography. You're welcome here. Pastor, I still have a problem with anger, or we're welcome here. Don't try to clean yourself up. You know what? Come here and let God clean you from the inside out. That's the only way it's going to happen anyway. Amen. This is not a church that you got to be perfect before you can come. This is a church with a bunch of broken people, with a broken pastor, who by God's grace, he has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Amen. I want to be your pastor. Now, if this message was for you, before we close, just say this: God, help me to listen to what I'm saying. I want to speak life in my life and all around me. Forgive me for my foolish talk, creating strongholds where I should have been pulling strongholds down. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We love you. I'm not out of message, but I'm out of time. Come next week. Next week, I want to talk to you about, you know what, thinking different, about speaking different. Next week, I'll be talking about acting different. It'll be a powerful message. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And then, of course, tonight at 6, we have an outstanding service in Spanish. If you know somebody who speaks Spanish, you know what? This is going to be their church, but you've got to invite them. You know what? It's going to be an awesome time tonight. You know what? We're going to be back soon. We're going to be back soon. We're going to be open soon. When we open, I want you to come. I want you to rejoice like you've never rejoiced before. I want your life to be changed. And I'm talking to people who've been saved for 38 years. and God really hasn't been able to speak to you. You come to church, but God hasn't really moved in your life for a long time, or 12 years, or 5 years. God is saying, wake up. You're running out of time. I want to be real in your life. I want to make a real difference in your life. Come back to church with a freshness. Take that critical spirit and flush it down the toilet, never to return again. Let me tell you about this church. This church is a very imperfect church that preaches a very perfect gospel. So come. Come back with an attitude, you know what, to give. Come back with an attitude to not just receive, but to be part of sitting and serving. Ask if there's something you can do. If you were involved in ministry before, don't get lazy. You know, don't go, oh, you know, no. If you're an usher, I need you to ush better than you ever ushed before. You know what I mean? If you worked in the coffee house, I need you. If you worked in the kids ministry, I need you. I need more people. I need the people who did nothing to come back and do something. Yeah, I said it. I need the people who did nothing to come back. But I'll tell you what, I don't think you ought to. Listen, I'm trying to bless you. We've got to be changed. We've got to be real. We've got to be not phony Christians. We've got to be real Christians. And I want to help you. I can't help you if I don't speak real to you. Don't get mad at me. Paul said, do you become not my friend because I tell you the truth? Do I become your enemy? That's what he said. Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? The truth is going to set you free. I thank God for the pastor who told me I was selfish. Stingy, he called me. Man, Holy Spirit said he's speaking to you. Changed my life forever. Man, don't we want pastors who will tell us the truth? Not in a condescending way. You suck! That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know what, you're called to do greater things. And you can't do greater things by living a life that's selfish, where you're all about yourself. No, God wants you to do great things. In the kingdom of God, the greatest people are the ones who serve. Amen. You want to be great? And God wants you to be great. And listen, your life will completely change. Those of you who haven't tithed, you know what? Today can be the first day of the rest of your life. You can get out of your mess. How? By trusting in God. When you start to tithe, he becomes your provider instead of you. That's why you're not tithing, because you think that you're going to provide. Hey, get out of that egotistical, you know, thought frame. No, you ain't going to provide. Let God provide you. Tamara and I love you. We're so proud of you. We're so proud. You could have slept in today, but you turned it on. Amen. We're proud that you're going to pay attention to what you say today. That your words are going to justify you and your words are not going to condemn you, because out of your mouth are going to flow rivers of life. Amen. You're going to bless your kids. You're going to bless your grandma. You're going to bless your aunt. You're going to bless your uncle. You're going to be a blessing. Man, people are going to get a cavity that you're so sweet around you. You ain't going to get a cavity, but do you understand what I'm saying? Be sweet. Be kind. Especially to those who are in the household of faith, the Bible says. Amen.